Well, hallelujah. Yeah, come on, let's stand up this morning. We want to give the Lord another shout and another praise. Come on. It's like, I know you've been standing, but we can do it again. Amen. 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 Well, listen, I went to bed last night, really had no sleep. It's like all this really is a bit of a facade because it's like I don't do notes. And anyone that knows me, it's like out of my belly flows the word of God. Out of my belly flow rivers of living water. And I want you this morning to put your hand on your belly, because God is going to unleash in you this morning rivers of living water. So I prophesy over you this morning that you may have come in one way, but you are going to leave a completely different way this morning. That this is going to be a defining moment for you. You are not going to be the same in Jesus' mighty name. So, Father, I say, unlock the reservoirs, Father God, from within, Father God, your people, now in Jesus' mighty name. Now you may be seated. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Before I get in, it's like I had on this morning my gold shoes, because I'm all about the glory of God. I'm all about revival. I'm all about awakening. But while I was over in Texas, it's like I knew that I was going to buy a pair of boots. And so I had my gold shoes on, which looked really good with this dress. And the Lord's, and I just thought, you know, I'll do it this way. Because I had my boots on, and I thought, no, this just is a little bit out there. And I need to just sort of bring it down a little bit. God said to me, you get those gold shoes off and you get those boots on, because these boots are made for walking. And he says, you're stepping into something bigger than yourself. And how many of you know, when you buy cowboy boots with a bit of a point, you've got to go up a size. And so I've had to step into something bigger than myself. And I want to prophesy over you today that you are stepping into something bigger than yourself. You cannot remain the same, and you will not remain in a mundane state. God says that it's time to come out of complacency. Now, complacency, I looked it up and I thought, oh, jeepers, that's a little bit different from what I thought it meant. But it means smugness and like satisfied with oneself and one's efforts. And he says it's time for the church to come out of smugness and self-effort. And he's saying, no, we are no longer going to be a church of complacency. He wants us to move out of that, and he wants us to move into victory, and he wants us to move into destiny. So it's time to step up and into your destiny. See, I told you the notes would be useless. It's like, oh my gosh, I labored over it, and it was like, and I was putting things in, and I'm going, oh God, this isn't me. It's like, you know, because you're listening to 50 different prophets over a period of 3 or 4 days. And it just becomes so overwhelming. And it's like, and you're going, God, what have I even learned? What have I even heard? And people are sort of coming up and saying, oh, was it good? Well, it was more than good. It's like you are soaked in and immersed in another realm. And it was like when you get a whole lot of prophets together, it's like, it's just like you're in a candy shop. And it's like you couldn't go anywhere without someone prophesying over you or you releasing something to them. And I'm out on the pavement and I'm waiting for our Uber, because we had a tea break and we thought, right, well, we'll go and we'll grab something to eat. And everywhere we went, we Ubered. And it was a great, great thing. It's like, man, I got to go on some amazing rides. It's like I got picked up in this pickup truck. It was massive. I was on my own for 2 days, and I just determined in my heart, you see, I had to step up and step into something bigger than myself, because I was in a big place. And how many of you know, if you've been there, Texas is a big place. They do things big. Food is big. Everything is big. And it's like, and I love it. Because I tell you what, we can become so small-minded. It's like when we live in a small nation. It's like when we do the same old, same old. It's like we need to get out. We need to break out and see that there are greater things on the other side. There are greater opportunities. And just as Joshua said to the people of Israel, it's like, consecrate yourself, because in 3 days, we're crossing over into something far bigger than what we've had here. So, man, I got picked up in this pickup truck. It was a beast, and it was like I had to step up into it. Almost needed a step ladder. And when I got inside, the whole thing was blinged out. And I thought, man, this is my kind of truck. And it was like stars. It was like just blinging. Everything was black and blinging. And I was just going, man, this is an awesome ride. Oh, thank you very much, ma'am. Thank you, ma'am. It's like, you're not from round here. Where are you from, girl? And it's like, you know, this is how they talk. And I loved it. It was like they were just so welcoming. And then they'd get me to pray for them. It's like I'd be talking and sharing and saying I'm at this prophetic global conference summit. And they go, oh, yeah, I've been dropping people off at Trinity. It's like they're so open. They're so open and they're so vocal. And we have to get out of this place of being subdued. We have to come out of this place of being put down. It's like you come up a little bit and people tend to get a little bit jealous. Why has she got the pulpit and I haven't? Why is she going away when it should be me? This is what I've been believing God for. God is a good God and he's got a lot to go around. God is not stingy and he is not trying to withhold anything from you. And we heard last week from Janet that this is the year of the door. It is the year of the voice activation. It's like, so we need to activate our door by using our voice. I mean, it would be a sad state, wouldn't it, if we came in and here Paulette and the worship team are, you know, and they're saying, come on, let us worship, let us sing unto the Lord, and everyone just stood there, and on the inside they're going, well, I'm just doing it on the inside. Hello? It's like God has called us to open our mouth and to make a noise. He's calling us to make a shout, and it was funny, I pulled out a word that I'd bought this year. And it was called, blow the trumpet, sound the alarm. God is saying it, it's time to wake up. And we heard that over and over again throughout the messages from the prophets that were standing up, that it is time to wake up. There were many things that were spoken. But one of them was, we are at war. And I just come back from Israel, and I just want to bless you, Mattel, my precious, precious Israeli friend. It's like, who is here today with Ella. It's just so wonderful. Thanks for coming, Mattel. We love you and we love the Jewish community. We love Israel. We stand for Israel. Yeah. Amen. Hallelujah. But time and time again, it was like, you know, we are at war. And when I came back from Israel, it was like something had shifted and changed. And I woke up this morning. It was Sunday morning, and I was to come down to the prayer room, and I just couldn't do it. It was like everything on the inside of me was shaking. And I texted my daughter, Ella, and I said, Ella, I'm at war. It was like God had picked me up, and he had put me in the battlefield. And I couldn't get out of it for the life of me. And it shook me. And I knew that God was speaking to me and he was showing me. He said, this is the state of the church. He said, this is what is happening now. He said that we are at war. And the thing was, it was like when I got back from Israel, 2 days later, I was going into a glory conference, and I thought, oh my gosh, I was the first speaker up. And all that was on the inside of me is, we are at war. And I thought, how does that fit in with a glory conference? I thought, oh God, you're going to have to give me another word. But I tell you what, when God wants to say something, we better be obedient to what he wants us to release. We can't curb it anymore. We can't cotton wool things anymore just to make you feel good. And I think Janet mentioned, you know, about the prophets and the apostles, you know, in this time are going to be standing up and bringing some alignment, hard words even, that you may not like to hear. But you see, it's for our benefit. It's like God doesn't discipline his children if they don't need it. God gave me 3 visions while I was doing a 40-day fast just before I went to Israel. The first one was, it was like Jesus was walking along and he was popping the floorboards of the church. And the floorboards, there was no carpet, it was just highly polished. And I thought, dear God, what are you doing? It's like, what are you doing? You are wrecking the floor. And so me, being nosy, little Miss Nosy, decided she'd have a wee peek over into what was underneath. And so when I did, I reeled back in horror from what I saw. And he says, I am now going to reveal everything that is hidden in the heart of man. And he says, I'm beginning in the house, in my house. You see, because God can't release his glory. Revival's not going to come in the house until things are cleaned up. That actually is part of revival, the cleanup. It's like he's coming in and he's exposing, and you think, oh, well, God wouldn't do that. God wouldn't expose me. Well, I'm sorry, but if God has been saying over and over and over and over again to you, don't do that. Come on, I want you to get cleaned up. Come in. It's like, I want to heal your heart. I want to deliver you. It's like, you see, we've covered sin over with other words. And it's like, and we can't compromise anymore. The church cannot compromise with sin anymore. Now is the time, God says, to get cleaned up. And cleaned up we're going to be. So, praise God. We are in a time of change. It's not small change, it's radical change. How many of you know after COVID, everything shifted and changed? Everything. It's like we can't go back to normal. There is no normal. And in fact, we're not called to be normal. As a body of believers, we are not called to just be normal Christians. It's like when we preach the gospel, which is the good news, by the way, it's the good news. Even with all the scriptures there that says, you know, I'm going to come to you like a launder's soap, you know, and I'm going to discipline, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that. Sometimes we want to take those little pages out or rub those little scriptures out because they don't fit into my life. But he's coming, and he's moving, and he's looking for a radical people so he can place a radical anointing upon them to bring about radical change in a world that is spiraling out of control. How many of you want to receive a radical anointing? Come on. God says, ask, and it shall be given you. It's like, I ask for everything. It's like while I was over in Texas, it's like Nathan French, I got introduced to him, although I sort of said to him, I know you. I said, I've watched you on Elijah List. I said, you're Nathan French, aren't you? And he said, yes, I am, ma'am. Ma'am. He said, what's your name? I said, Nawa. Oh, you kind of sound so Kiwi in front of Americans. Like, you know, my name's Nawa. It's a bit like saying fish and chips. It's just so Kiwi. Yet they seem to love it. They think it's cute. And he said, well, that's a God-given name. Sort of emphasized the God-given. I thought, yeah. And with that, you know, and I'm looking all good and all together, waiting for my Uber with Janet. Next minute, he slaps his hand on my head. Whoop! He says, I see the Lord.
He said he just took you by the hand and he just breathed into your mouth. And you're called to be a mega horn for New Zealand.
Well, I identified with that word straight away because the first time I went to Redding, California, I'm sitting in the cafe, minding my own business, and Tom, the pastor, who I didn't even know back then, it's like he looks across at me and he goes, "Where are you from?" And I said, "New Zealand." He said, "Yes." He said, "I see you holding a megahorn." He said, "And you're standing in a field." And he said, "People," he said, "thousands are coming because of what you carry." So I don't make any apologies if I'm loud, if I'm intrusive, if I'm out there, if my boots look too big, if I look too bright, come on. You see, because God is wanting us to break out of ourselves and step up into the heavenly place, the heavenly call that he's called us into now. Oh my goodness, if you knew what was laid out before you, it's like you would quit bawling and squalling and complaining and moaning and groaning what you don't have. It's like, because God says, "I've already done it for you. All you need to do is open your mouth and declare and decree a thing and it shall be established for you." I was looking back in a journal, and it wasn't that long ago, and I was just decreeing in this journal about, "Thank you, Father, that you've opened doors for me to go to Israel. I thank you, Lord, that you have paid for the trip. I thank you, Lord, for my spending money. I thank you, Almighty God." Well, you know what? That word came to pass only several months later after I decreed it, after I'd prayed it out. It's like, and once it's like you need to start activating what is on the inside of you. It's like, you want revival? It's like, "God, come revive me. God, come fill me. God, come root everything out of me that isn't of you. God, come and fill me. Fill me with your word. Fill me with your power. Fill me with your unction, Almighty God." It's like, you know what we're supposed to hunger and thirst for? Righteousness, the goodness of God. We're supposed to hunger and thirst for all of him. It's like I'm saying, "God, I don't want just a part of him." It's like so often, it's like we pick and choose. "Well, I'll have a little bit of that, but I won't have that." It's a bit like kids, you know, when you put veggies on their plate when they're little. Oh, my mother used to put broad beans. Oh, they weren't little broad beans, they were big. They were big. Now, they were broad. And Brussels sprouts. Oh, because we grew everything. So what we grew, we ate. And you ate it. It was like there was no complaining back then. Oh, a marrow. Oh. A big sloppy piece of steamed marrow on my plate. Now, my mother is a good cook. She's a fine cook, is my mum. But I don't know, back then, everything was boiled. It's not like today. You know, man, we have cuisine today. It's like, my gosh, we do crumbed pork chops, but they're panko crumbed pork chops. You know, and you have, you know, your mashed potato or your rosemary roasted spuds. How do I get on to this? You see, there's so much more that God has for us. It's like more than just broad beans, you know, and sloppy marrow on a plate. He says, "No, I've laid a banqueting table." So when you go to a banquet, it is fine food. It's beautiful food. It's it's where you feast your eyes upon it. And you go, can I have a bit of that? And he says, "I've laid it out there for you." Can I have a healing? Of course you can have a healing. You don't have to wait for your healing. Your healing was already done over 2,000 years ago when Jesus Christ died on the cross. Did you know that? That he took every sin, every sickness, every disease. So right now, I just address every sickness, every disease in this house. You're a trespasser in the name of Jesus. And I release healing in your bodies now in Jesus' name. You see, because God says, I have given you, all power, all authority in my name. So we can step in. It's like, and we step up and we start taking what God has said we can have. So everything you read, it's like in the Word, it's like you can have it. You say, it's mine. I'm taking it. I'm possessing it. I'm going to possess the gates of heaven. I'm going to possess the gates of hell. And it's like, man, I'm going to knock Satan out of the way. It's like Janet, I think, said last week, it's like out the door, our adversary could be standing in front of the door, but I tell you what, that's our very destiny. It's like we've got to get through the door. Goliath was standing in front of David. What did David do? Well, he didn't shrink back. His brothers were doing that, and they were fine men of war. I mean, they were trained. They gave David a hard time. Said, what are you doing here? Get back to the sheep. It's like your little troublemaker. But he went down and he gathered 5 stones. He only needed one. And he faced Goliath. He ran toward him. What is your enemy? What are you facing? It's like, pull out the word of God. My enemy is defeated. My enemy is under my feet. I'm seated in heavenly places alongside Jesus. Jesus has made a way for me where there was no way. Hoo-wee. You see, before revival comes, there's going to be a shifting and there's going to be a shaking. And so when things happen and when stuff gets exposed, it's not to embarrass you. It's not to try and make you look bad or small. God cares more about your eternal life than you do. God cares more about where you're going than you do. And I'm going, I don't want to sin. I don't want to play with sin. I don't want to look at sin. I don't want to tamper with sin. It's like, because sin is bad and sin will take you to hell. So Jesus is coming in and he was just, listen, he was the builder. He was coming in, he was just popping, boop, 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 with the old crowbar, lifting up all the floorboards. I thought, well, that's stuffed now, isn't it? But what was underneath was every defiling thing that you could think of. And this was in the body of Christ. You know, little hidden sins, little secrets, little offenses, big offenses, jealousy, strife, contention, gossip. Oh, believe you me, I tell you what, God's been doing a work in my heart. And he says, but Noah, he says, I'm going to clean it out. And with that, he began to scoop it out. And I don't know if you've ever cleaned out your shower plug. Well, you think your shower plug was bad. This was absolutely disgusting. That I was reeling back and I wanted to vomit. And I was horrified and I said, oh, God, that's not in my heart. Is that in my heart? I thought, oh my God, oh, clean me up, God, clean me up and clean me out. Because I tell you what, God reveals to the prophets what he's doing first, and we've got to start getting back to the scripture and what the scripture says. And so we need to take note. And it's not being proud, it's not being boastful, it's just being truthful and factual about what God's word says. I want to say this, you receive a prophet in the name of a prophet and you will receive a prophet's reward. Yeah. And what Bobby Connor say? He said, to receive a prophet's reward is to receive the deepest desires and longings of your heart from the power of God. So if you receive the word today that has been released in this house, it's like you will receive a prophet's reward. You will receive the deepest and longing and desires of your heart. Isn't that amazing? Isn't God good? I tell you what, God just wants to come and slam dunk you with good stuff. But in order to slam dunk you with good stuff, he's saying, I have to come in and I have to scoop out. I have to clean up. He says, it's my house. He says, I want to come and clean out your heart. He says, then I'll give you your heart's desire. Then I will fill you to overflowing. You see, I had an encounter many years ago on the West Coast, just moved there. It was like I needed a church. It was like Toronto. It was right on the end of the Toronto blessing. I had no idea what that was. But anyway, it was like I went to an Aglow meeting. I thought, well, that's a good start. We'll go there. And as I was in the Aglow meeting, it was like the pastor, she was praying for all these people, and they're all falling down. And they were all elderly people, and I was the youngest one there, and I had two of my kids with me. Ella was about three, and Victoria was one. Ginny had just started school. And anyway, the president of the Aglow said to me, dear, she said, would you like prayer? I said, well, that would be nice. I said, yes, I would. She said, anything in particular? I said, yes, I want to meet God. She was a little bit sort of like taken aback. All right. So she's sort of stepping back and going to the lady who was doing all the praying and releasing. And they're having a little bit of a conversation. You could tell that they were having a little bit of a talk about me. So they're both at the same time. It was a bit obvious. At the same time, looked up, looked over, smiled, nodded. And this lady starts walking toward me. And as she walked toward me, I saw Holy Spirit. It's the only time I've seen Holy Spirit. And Holy Spirit jumped in between her and me. Just as quick as a flash. It was like flash. You know, that program, flash. It was that quick. And when that happened, I hit the deck. Nobody prayed for me. Nobody touched me. I just hit the deck. And now I'm in the glory realm. And I can remember hearing somebody laughing and laughing and laughing. And I could hear Alice say to the lady, what's happening to Mummy? And she said, your mummy's been touched by God. How many of you want a touch from God? Oh, that's a few of you. How many of you want a touch from God? I tell you what, I could feel that there has been a shift and a change in this house. It's like there is a hunger that is building in this house. There's a stirring that is happening. Man, I'm feeling... Oof. And you know what's on God's heart? On God's heart is a revival for the nation. First of all, awakening for the church. You see, because the church has been asleep, sad to say. We think we're awake, but we're asleep. It's like we really have. And he's saying it's time to wake up. And so when I pulled out the old prophecy from this year, it was like, sound the alarm, blow the trumpet. Tell them to wake up. Tell them to get up. He's giving us an opportunity to respond to him today. You don't have to leave here with depression. You don't have to leave here oppressed. You don't have to leave here sick. You don't have to leave here with demons. Those that you've been patting and thinking are your friends. You see, I know because I used to have a spirit of death that was my friend. And I tell you what, we were good buddies and we just went everywhere together. And every now and then when things, life got a little bit tough, it would be like, good, maybe I could just die. Yes, let's die. And I loved the Lord. But you see, I knew nothing. I knew nothing of the power of God. I knew nothing of my destiny. I knew nothing. And the devil was absolutely out there to try and rob and kill and destroy. And we know that the thief comes to rob, kill and destroy. But I've come to give life and life to the full, life to overflowing, a life of abundance. Well, that sounds like a good God to me. It's like, so why on earth do we want to stay in sin? Why on earth do we want to keep throwing the blame? Why on earth do we want to hold on to past issues? Why on earth do we want to do that? Why do we want to live in a pit that is full of muck and mire? And God says, I'm coming and I'm ripping it up. And he says, and I'm taking it out so that I can fill you up afresh. He showed me. He cleaned out what was underneath, and I heard the concrete trucks coming. I thought, oh man, this is just so wild. It was like beep, 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 you know, and they're backing up. I saw all of this, and it's like, and he began to pour. He said, I'm getting ready to pour. He said, a solid foundation. That's not going to be moved. That's not going to be filled with a whole lot of nonsense. We're in that time now where God says, I am unveiling everything. And he says, I'm about my business. And nothing is going to stop him. Just quickly back to the West Coast. When I was on the West Coast, I got hit by Holy Spirit. It's like I got up. It's like I was not the same after that. I found a church. It was a New Life church. The next weekend, I go there, and the lady says, that's the lady that the Holy Spirit intercepted, and I didn't even get to pray for her. And throughout the whole meeting, all I wanted to do, see, I just didn't know anything. It was like I had a scarf around my neck. It was like I had a hand on the back of my head throughout the whole service trying to push me off my chair, and I had a hand pulling on me. It was all invisible. I couldn't see. I kept turning around. It was distressing. It was like, I didn't know what that was. I didn't even know why you read the word. I just read it because I thought, well, that's what Christians do. And they were good stories. I loved the stories. So I go up for prayer at the end. I thought, oh, I'm hopping up for prayer. This is good. I don't even know what the pastor spoke on. Wouldn't have a clue. Because I was too busy fighting two angels. So she puts her hand on me. And she says, oh, she takes her hand off and she said, the Lord has just said that he wants you to get down on your knees. I went, really? I said, throughout the whole service, I says, I've had this compulsion to get down on my knees. I said, in fact, I've had a hand on the back of my head and something around my neck trying to pull me off my chair. And she said, well, you better do it then. I thought, well, I suppose, right. So I got down. The moment my knees hit the floor, the whole roof lifted off, the church, the heavens opened up. And now I'm under what I can only describe as a waterfall, but it wasn't a waterfall, it was oil or thick honey that was coming out, and it was warm. And it was coming over me with such intensity that it was coming up through my toes, and I was starting to be filled up, and I was being filled and filled. Every fiber of my being now became electrified and alive. Every part of my body where this oil substance was filling me was now beginning to praise God and was alive. It was like everything that was being touched within, it was like was being ignited. It was so terrifying but so thrilling at the same time. And I could feel it coming off me. And I could hear them standing back and saying, oh, wow, oh, well, oh, no, I'm not touching her, I'm not touching her. Now, this isn't to boast. I'm boasting in God. You see, because God wants to come and he wants to pour out his spirit upon all of you. He wants you to encounter him. We can't just preach the word and not have the manifestation of the word with miracles, signs, and wonders following us wherever we go. You see, we've gone away with it for far too long. The Christian faith is the only faith that requires evidence. No other religion in the world requires evidence of the miracle, signs, and wonders. Not one. So I'm being filled up, and now I'm shaking uncontrollably, and I'm terrified, and I'm thinking I'm going to die. Oh, God's going to kill me. It was very real. It was so real that now it's up past my lips, and it's under my nose, and I thought, if it goes over my nose, man, I'm a goner. And I screamed, stop! And immediately it stopped. And you know, one of those moments you think, blast. Over the years I've gone, blast. What would have happened if I had have just allowed him to fill me to overflowing? But you see, over the years I know now who I am. It's like I know what I'm called to do. I know that my life represents, my whole life represents what is coming and what is going to be in the body of Christ. I live it out every day. Ask my husband. And he showed me many years later, when I got an understanding, he said the church was not ready for the overflow. He said, but it's coming. It's coming soon. He says, where I'm going to fill you to overflowing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Is my time up? I'll get... Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So God wants to come and he wants to impact your life in a radical way. Not just in a little bitsy way. Because that's not our God. Our God is a generous God. It's like, listen, whatever you're battling with today, God wants to set you free once and for all. He doesn't want you to hold on to sin. Sin is destructive. Sin's evil. Jesus came and he says, you ask for forgiveness. He says, repent, and he says, and I'll forgive you. And I love what Virginia Rodriguez, whatever her name is, Virginia. She said, repentance simply means to come up into a higher place. And so God is saying this morning, I'm calling you up into a higher place. I'm calling you from down here. He says, where it's like you are to be seated with me in heavenly places, far above principalities and powers and rulers of darkness and spirits of wickedness in high places. You see, we've been so busy battling and binding and loosing. And it's like, whereas I heard something fresh in you, I think it was from Isaac, one of the prophets, and he said, you know, he says, we've been battling and binding and loosing, and it's like, boy, and just become so battle-weary. And he says, but listen, he says, come up into this higher place where we are seated with Christ in heavenly places. Now, it's like we're not fighting in heavenly places. It's like we're merely resisting the devil. Resist, submit to God. It's like, so we yield to him. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Goes in that order. So when we're seated with him in heavenly places, we're yielding to the Spirit of God, and we're resisting the devil. It's like, this is your time today. It's going to be a defining moment in your life where God is going to shift things and turn things around for you. And I'm not just saying this just to tickle your ears or to try and make you feel good. This is not a feel-good message. This is a power message. that God wants you to get it in your spirit, man. It's like where you will rise up and that you will take back what the enemy has stolen from you in these days. And the only way that you're going to do it is by voice activation. Some of you are waiting for a miracle. Open your mouth and declare the word of the Lord. Some of you are going, well, I don't even know what I'm called to do. Read. Read and pray. Read the word of the Lord. It's like he had me reading. He said, Noah, he says, I want you to read the Bible through twice this year. I went, whew. I read it through once last year. And now you're saying you want me to read it twice. Once again, it's not a boast, but it's like I'm just going, okay, I'll just be obedient. And so I read it through twice. And that, so it's like he's putting a challenge out there. He says, because, you know, there's coming a day where we may not have the word physically in front of our eyes. You see, we've got to get out of this complacency. We've got to get out of this place of, she'll be right, mate. It'll all be good. Get the word of God written on the tablet of your heart. So that when you open your mouth, out of your belly, out of your belly, out of your belly, come on, let's stand this morning, out of your belly will flow rivers, rivers of living water, out of your belly, amen? Hallelujah, yeah, we want some music. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Actually, I've got to tell you one funny story. Just quickly, it's quick. There's 3:04 on the clock. Woohoo! And we're not in the red. Bobby Connor went into the red. They all got 30 minutes, you see, and he was in the red and he thought he was still going good. It was so funny. Until Cindy said, no, you're over time. You know, and she said, one thing I've realized with prophets is they don't know how to tell the time. But Bobby Connor was driving along in Texas, and it was all cattle country. And the Lord says, I want you to pull over the side of the road, he said, because the cows have got something to say to you. Now, very biblical. You need to go read the word. If you don't think that animals can talk, go read what happened to Balaam, the prophet, who was riding his donkey. And Balaam began to beat her. And after the third time, the donkey spoke and says, why are you beating me? And Balaam goes, because you've made me look foolish. Balaam even answered the donkey. So Bobby pulls over the side of the road because he's learned to obey quickly. So if God's speaking to you, you obey quickly. So he pulls over, gets out of the car. He said, there's all these cattle in the paddock. And suddenly they start running toward him. He said, he's never seen such an intense look on their faces. And he said, normally cattle will come up, you know, because they think they're going to get fed. He said, but these were running. And he said, the look on their face was so intense. And they get up to him and they go, you're here, you're here, you're finally here. And Bobby goes, Lord, what do they know that I don't? What do they know about me that I don't know about myself? And he says, they know more about what is going on in creation than what you do and what the church does. He said, creation is awake. He said, go tell the church to wake up. He then had a vision, he said, of these angels. He said, oh, I don't even know if it was a vision. It was like they were there. They were 50 feet tall. He said they were huge. They were massive angels at his home. And he said their wings were whirring like helicopters. He said, and they were screaming, divine urgency! Divine urgency! They were screaming, tell the church we are in divine urgency. You see, Jesus is coming, and he's coming back to a pure and a holy church. He's not coming back to a church full of muck and mire. He's not coming back to a church full of Jezebels. He's not coming back to a church full of Hamans. He's not coming back to a church that is just doing its own thing. Oh, no, no, no. He's coming back to a church that is full of power and full of might in these days. And he's going to use you, and he's going to use you, and he's going to use you in these days. Hallelujah. Give him a praise. Give him a praise. Come on, you can do better than that. Give him a praise. We praise you, Lord. We magnify you, Lord. God, release, Lord. Release your fire and your wind in this house this morning. Release, Lord, over your people. Release, Lord. Release, Lord. Pour out your Spirit, Almighty God. You said in these last days that you will pour out your Spirit upon all flesh, that your sons and daughters will prophesy, your old men and young men will have dreams and visions. Come on. It's like, who's hungry? Who's hungry for him? Who wants a touch from God this morning? God wants to come, and he wants to pour out. God's not holding back. He's just waiting for your yes. So if you're hungry, it's just like, if you're hungry this morning and you want a touch from God, you want a fresh impartation. Now, I know we did this last week. It's like, but we're going to do it again. And we're going to do it again and again and again and again until we begin to overflow in the goodness and the wonder of God. Amen. So come up this morning. You want a touch from God. It's like, we're going to move quickly. We're going to move quickly this morning. We're going to move quickly. It's not a counseling session. We don't need to know what's wrong with you. God's just going to come by the power of his might, by his anointing that removes every burden, that destroys every yoke of bondage. God wants to touch your life this morning so that you come out of mundane into your destiny in the name of Jesus. I release a boldness. Lift your hands to the Lord. Lift your hands. I release a boldness over you now in Jesus' name. Listen, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior, I'm giving you an opportunity right now. I tell you what, it's not about having all of our little duckies in a row. It's like, God is moving in this place. Stay in the Spirit. Stay in the Spirit. If you need to rededicate your life back to Jesus, it's like, you get up here now. If you need to give your life to Jesus, we want to invite you up here right now, and we'll lead you in the sinner's prayer. Amen. I tell you what, because that's one less for Satan. That's one more for the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, and all you watching online. If you need to come back to the Lord, today is your day. If you need to give your life to Jesus, today is your day. So say after me, Jesus, I come before you. I thank you that you died on the cross for me. I thank you that you bore your sins on your body for me. Oh, I ask you, Almighty God, to forgive me, to wash me clean of all of my sin. I ask you even, Lord, to take away all of the sickness in my body. Oh, because you're a good, good God. And I ask you, Jesus, to come into my life, to be my Lord and my Savior. I thank you, Jesus, for what you did for me. Oh, and I just thank you, Almighty God, that if you have prayed that prayer today, we would love to hear from you. Get in touch with us. There's probably something up on the live stream where you can message in. We would love to hear from you. If there are any here this morning, it's like, who have prayed that prayer, either for the first time or you have come back to the Lord, we would love to talk to you after the service, and that will have a pack for you. It's like, but listen, God is in this place. God is moving now. And I want to release over you right now, if you are hungry for the Lord, if you're wanting to move in a radical way, lift your hands, because there's so many of you. Right now, right now, right now, right now, God, you see the hearts of these people. You see, Almighty God, their hearts and that they are responding to you. So right now, Almighty God, I release over them, Father God, a radical anointing, Father God, to move mountains in Jesus' mighty name. Almighty God, I ask that you would come and blow on them by your Spirit in Jesus' mighty name. Come and blow. Come and blow. Come and blow. Release your fire on them, Lord. Burn up every bit of dross. Father God, every chain. Father God, every hog tie around their feet. I break off them right now in the name of Jesus. I break it off you. I break every restriction off you. I break it off you right now. I break off restriction in Jesus' name. I break it off. I break it off. I break restrictions off you right now in Jesus' name.